Now entering Nerdist.com.
Ding donger with a mad bronger. Ding donger with a mad bronger is the ding donger with a mad bronger. Ding donger with a mad bronger. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Ding Donger with Mad Bronger. Thanks for picking me up. This is the first installment of Hitchhiking with my pals. Thumbs out, dicks out. I don't know yet, but yeah, this is the very first one, and I'm joined, thanks for picking both of us up, by my good buddy Mike Open Mike Eagle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm in a lot of pain. Is there a choice between thumbs out and dicks out, or is it just like you're putting them both together?
You know, that was just literally just pulled that out of my ass. If you have a better name for hitchhiking with into people's lives with friends of mine, just go ahead and.
Yeah, no.
You can brainstorm.
That's really long. Know? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. That was the robotic shoulder that Mike just had implanted. It buzzed.
That is exactly what it was.
Mike heard himself doing MMA, training for the undercard for the next McGregor fight.
No, I challenged CM Punk, actually.
Oh, is that it?
I
okay, good.
Him out
yes.
At a press conference.
Oh,
I
smart.
Was like, you didn't fight good, so now I'm going to fight you. And then I hurt myself trying to practice for the fight.
I like it better if you hurt yourself right after you yelled that. Right. You fell over a folding chair. Oh
no, I yelled so loud I just tore everything, you know. Just
that has to have happened.
Oh,
like someone like to DMX or like a heavy metal guy or something, just like too much, just like a nationwide stadium tour, and then just blew out his shoulder yelling.
That'd be horrible.
What's my name?
It's and everybody thinks it's crack cocaine. No.
No.
No, he just yelled too loud.
No.
You know? So you can just yell too loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
You really can. You really can. Crack reminds me, I'm reading this John Waters book called Role Models. That's all his role models in his life, and it's fascinating. It's like I'm just tearing through it, and he has this whole thing about how he shops exclusively this Japanese designer that makes clothes that specifically look bad on you.
That's why.
Like they, the threads will come out of the sport coat without it unraveling, and like they make you look shitty.
Why does anybody want that?
I don't know why. Because he likes wearing stuff like thrift store stuff that just looks like anytime they run a press picture of him, they're like in his thrift store best, and he's like, no, this jacket costs like $1,000. Like, it's this designer.
Wow.
But long story long, he was talking about why one reason he loves Baltimore is like he was in one of his favorite dive bars, and this he just struck up a conversation with this dude, and he was like, so what do you do? And the guy was like, can I be frank? And he's like, yes. And he's like, I trade deer meat for crack. So that's the quote of the day for me right now.
Were you able to get any further information from this?
That was it. He just was like, I love Baltimore. That's it. Like, I want to know this. Like, is it for his consumption? Does he want to sell it? I assume he'd sell it. Like, he went hunting and then he's got crack to sell.
Yeah, but how do you get so good at collecting deer meat and somehow have a problem finding crack?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know?
Yeah. You mean you can buy it in bulk? You know?
Oh.
You know, so it's like, why wouldn't he just buy weight, as they say, rather than go out and kill a bunch of deer?
Yeah.
And field strip them. The economics of it don't make sense.
It sounds very complicated.
Yeah. Maybe that guy was just a liar.
Like,
you know, just wanted to throw something out
there.
That's
one of those, that's a really particular lie.
Yeah, it is.
And that couldn't have been the first time he told it.
No, he had that one saved. He had that one in the chamber, for sure.
I wonder if that ever worked on a woman before. Usually when somebody tells a lie like that, it's because it got him laid at some point.
Sure. Yeah. Know? Or impressed a bunch of people at a party, and he's just like, I got to save this one.
It could impress a crackhead girl, I imagine, if you told somebody that you were like a fur trapper and you also knew where the crack was.
Well, I think when you get that deep in a drug addiction, you kind of want to have an organic connection to something. And then someone's like, oh, you completed the circle of life to get me this crack.
Wow.
That's nice. That's nice. Can we talk about you for a second?
Okay.
Okay. Besides your robot cyborg shoulder,
I'm in an incredible amount of pain.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no, it's not your fault at all. I don't think so.
The drugs.
I don't think we were playing against you.
No. If you're playing against me in volleyball, you would be in perfect health. I would have lost terribly. The last volleyball I played was like water volleyball in someone's pool, and it was fun.
That sounds like fun until somebody drowns.
Yeah. You know? Well, we were calling ourselves the deep end boys because we were on the deep end. And other side's killing us. And we're like, yeah, you're not paddling.
You guys sound like a water gang. Deep End.
The Deep End Boys.
Texting me other time.
We were a gang, and all we talk about is philosophical thoughts. And also we stutter. Nice. And we have massive slurs when sober.
Okay.
But yeah, just existentialism, existentialism. Yeah.
I would like to be initiated, I think.
Yeah, let's say you're already in. You're already in the Deep End Boys.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'll wait until my arm works, though.
Okay.
Until I could join a game.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Are you are you on the road? Are you off the road?
What's happening? I'm like always in between now. Instead of doing long tours, I mostly just do like weekends. I try to have my career like you guys, because you guys do it good.
Mm. So it's not like a stretch that.
Yeah. I mean, I just did a 2-week stretch about a couple weeks ago now, and that was fine. It was great. The shows were awesome, but the strategy that me and my manager and my booking agent have been working on is get more money to play less.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's the plan,
man. And it's working out. So I just, like next weekend, I just got a show in San Francisco, and I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to go home.
And don't you notice, I mean, you're married, you have a kid, and don't you notice that, like, as you get older and having a family, you kind of just, you're not that person. Like, it sucks when you have to turn down a gig because they won't pony up.
Yep.
You know? It's tough.
Yeah,
because you want to be that guy. You want to be Rhinestone Cowboy.
I used to play anywhere.
Me too.
For nothing.
Me too.
You know, I'll do it. You know, I used to drive up to San Francisco to play shows for like $100.
And you'd blow that on gas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's nothing, but I used to do it like without hesitation.
Sure.
I used to do it. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, now I can't do it.
Yeah. I just had a... We shot this like little sizzle thing, and a friend of mine and I, and the budget that the production company got from the place they sold it to was so minuscule. Our cut was tiny, and they were like, "Yeah, but the exposure." It's like, "Nah, no, right. don't give me that.
No,
that carrot and a stick. I've dealt with that my whole life. I don't buy that anymore."
Yeah, well, you start, you know, at some point you start to learn, where you'll be exposed, because it's where you've seen other people.
Yes, you know? Exactly, so exactly. Like, this is not...
Right, you can tell if
no.
You know.
It's I kind of compare it to... You've played South By a lot, right?
Yeah, too much.
Me too. And I still love it. It's still a great time, but it's like going for any other reason than it's a great time doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right, exactly.
You don't go a long time, but I love, and this is not putting it on the bookers or anybody, but I love... The bait and switch with the laminates.
Oh,
every year it is Lucy with the football. No, I'm not gonna move it. No, go ahead, kick it. Like every time, it's like, no, this is gonna get you into everything. Everything. Mm-mm. And then you'll go, and they're like, you're like, wait, who? Stevie Wonder's playing at midnight, and everyone has a laminate you've never seen. Everyone in line, this laminate shaped like an airplane. Where did you get? And they, no one will tell you.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that. Prince will be playing underneath the table. You're saying you can't get in.
You've been asked to leave.
Do you guys get? Because I'm assuming you're talking about the official South by Southwest showcase play where you get the wristband or whatever. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So, or like you know, you get the artist laminate, and they'll put a little attachment on there for something.
So, on the music side, you get offered either a wristband, and supposedly going to get you in all the official events and all of the panel discussions and all of that shit. You can charge your phone in the big building, whatever you want.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Or $100. And there were a few years where I took the $100.
Sure.
You know, there were a few years. Because I almost never use that wristband for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It almost never happened.
One of my favorite memories was this one. For some reason, it was unseasonably cold. Like, really cold. And everyone's just wearing light jackets. And I just wanted to get inside. Mm-hmm. I just wanted... I don't care what the band is. I don't care if it's experimental noise. I'm going to go... I just want to get in there and have a beer and just be under a roof with a closed door. And I could not get into anything. And then the Dog Pound Gangsters were playing like an outdoor thing. And I was like, I'm just going to sit here and shiver and listen to some gangster rap. Like, fine.
That's just good. Yeah. Gangster rap helps you get warm sometimes.
It does. It gets the ire in you, you know, a little bit of rage.
It's like
you know?
The hot chocolate of music.
I've heard that before.
Gangster rap.
Yeah.
Somebody told me you used to rap. and yeah. it wasn't you. I thought that was really interesting.
That's funny. That is funny.
You wouldn't tell
me. It is not something I talk about.
But somebody else. I was
That's
like,
funny.
What?
I never mentioned that to you.
No.
That's crazy. Yeah, no. When I was in college, me and a bunch of other guys from, I went to college just outside New York City. So I had all these guys who were like in little groups and were made beats and stuff. And we would just get high and freestyle or whatever. And awesome. We had our little group. And the closest we came to anything was we opened for the Lost Boys when they came
dope.
To college. So, jeez. And that was cool.
My Lex Boops beam was in the bends for all of my ladies and my men's.
Wow. All of my people is in the pens.
Rest in peace, Freaky
Keep
Tom.
Keep your head
man.
Up. Yep, he was wow. there. That was before he died. Aww. They did that song. They did Renee.
Oh.
Remember Renee?
Renee that I met one day. Yeah, it was a very gruff romantic rap song.
The gruffest love song.
Yeah, I think in the video he was like walking around a public bathroom or something. It was very...
Well, that was the grimy era.
It was.
The grimy era. So that was Das FX. That was Redman. And I remember seeing a show in Philly and this guy... It was one of those things where... I loved being around people that we like loved hip hop, but at the same time had a sense of humor about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that old I think Chappelle was in a spread for like something, like The Source or whatever. He's eating a bowl of cereal and it just says, "I will not die for hip hop." So just let the whole air out. But this guy was like full on, you know, grimy type dude and had a blunt in his nose, sticking out of his nose.
That's not where a blunt goes at all.
No, it isn't.
Why would you?
It would hurt.
He didn't set it on fire then.
No, it wasn't lit. He was just kind of doing his best, old dirty bastard.
Because I thought he was just like a real rebel, yeah. a real dangerous person.
Oh, a blunt nose?
Yeah, blunt nose. It's like a Dick Tracy villain.
Yeah.
Blunt nose.
His would just be a big flat nose. His face would be like almost all nose. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, it was one of those things. I mean, I grew up really being into hip hop and rap and stuff, and it was just one of those fun things. But even then, I was always like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. Like, no, especially because you didn't have the era where kind of like we have now where anybody can rap. Kind of thing, which yeah. I still bristle about a little bit.
I mean, there's bristling to be done.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I just hear people and I'm just like, ugh, there's can and there should mm-hmm. kind of in my mind. It's just
well, you know, we're about 10 years into the YouTube era.
Right.
Now, and that really changed everything.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
then it became a commodity to not look like you were supposed to rap and be rapping.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It became
really?
A big thing. Like, you're like the rapping nice librarian looking white girl.
So like rapping, you know? Like literally like rapping granny. The stereotype yes. rapping granny yes. became like an exponentially large genre.
It became valuable.
Interesting. Because, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because that was the reason that people would spread videos to other people. Say, look at this person yeah. rapping.
It's a hook.
Doesn't look like they're supposed to be rapping.
It's
and
a
people
hook.
Were building careers and getting big deals off of that stuff,
yeah.
you know? But that's all mostly over.
Yeah.
The big deal part of it
I would,
is, anyway.
I would think so. Yeah. That's the thing that I notice about anytime I get, you know, you get caught up in your own career and you're like, why am I not this, that, why don't have, I don't
Who are you jealous
thing,
of,
stuff.
Matt? Tell me who
you got.
Of.
No, I'm not even that bad. It's just kind of like you wonder where your place is. And you also the thing that I, you know, it kind of keeps me and keeps that in check for me is like, yeah, but do you want to just blow up and then fizzle?
Mm.
And that and we're in the era of that.
You Does know, that happen a lot in comedy? Like,
yeah. Well, when people go the quick route, where you're like you're a Vine star or you're a YouTube star, and it's just like the only way to maintain that is to consistently make. Completely free content
yeah.
on a daily basis.
Ugh, and give it
you just
away.
Spread yourself so thin.
That's silly.
You know? And I'm not trying to unionize Twitterers or nothing, but at the same time, you know, like, you kind of think.
Hashtag AFL-CIO.
Hashtag join us.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But you know what I mean? And that's that. A lot of my ilk, especially people my age, are like, oh, those aren't real comedians and stuff. And I'm just like, well, yeah, but. I feel there's categories. There's stand-up comedian. There's, you know.
But can you do the flash in the pan thing as a stand-up now?
That's tough. Yeah. I don't know how that would even work.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think. It seems like you have to have those road hours logged and those minutes on stage.
You'd have to be like a caricature. Like if you're on a mic and someone catches you at shows and you yell consistently the most offensive shit or like whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you know. Razor Pete or whatever that, you know, takes no prisoners or something mm-hmm. like that. So you become like, I don't know, just this kind of iconic stereotype or weird kind of this visage, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could just do it as just a comic.
Right. You have to have some other. I mean, it's the same thing with rap, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody just rapping blows up real fast.
Yeah.
You know.
Like I was just saying, realizing today, I'm like, I'm just going to stop buying new vinyl. Like, I love old records, and I can listen to anything new whenever I want with, like, Apple Music and stuff, but it's rare. The last new thing I bought was the new De La Soul, because there isn't a De La Soul album I'm completely sick of, for the most part.
You know what? It took me a week to listen to that album when it came out, and I didn't know who I'd become now.
Yeah.
I didn't, because that was unheard of
mm-hmm.
for me. I still don't know how I feel about that album yet, though.
Yeah.
And I love those guys to death. I mean, they helped raise me in a lot of ways.
Me too.
But I that album, it's the first De La Soul album where I feel like I'm not in the target demo for this.
Yeah.
You know?
But then who is?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the point.
And that's the feeling I'm left with. I don't know who this is for.
Yeah. And there's so many, you know, I feel it's a little... like a little bit of irony, because I feel like I'm skipping around like I did with De La Soul is Dead, but instead of skipping over sketches, I'm skipping over a song or two.
Wow.
You know? And not that song is bad, but it's just so... I mean, it is hard right and left turns. It's taking Waze home during rush hour in L.A. You're going to go across Wilshire, straight across four lanes against traffic, and then there's some smoothness.
You're going to take a left on Usher, and then a right on Rock Marciano, and...
a left on some guy who sounds oddly like Bono. You know the song I'm talking about?
I do know which one you're talking
just
about.
Like, no, did no one tell that guy? It sounds just like the most famous singer alive.
What's your favorite De La Soul album? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, it's probably a tie between... 3 Feet High and mm-hmm. Balloon Mind State.
Have you ever heard them talk about Balloon Mind State now?
No, they don't like it?
Just don't.
They don't...
Just don't. Just don't even ever... If you see that headline, ever.
Really?
Just don't go.
Well, I mean, it's just like in comedy, there are people, they know my favorite joke of yours, and I'm like, I hate that. Yeah. I mean, Stakes Is High would be a very, very close second.
You know, I miss all of those... The art of artificial intelligence. I like mm-hmm. them. I miss those albums a lot.
Those were good.
Because I feel like I didn't have them in times of my life where I was devouring them nonstop like I did all the other records.
Yeah.
But now since they're not on Beats or Spotify or mm-hmm. anything, it's like I can never fucking hear these albums. I have to like go to YouTube.
Yeah,
to
you're
hear
right.
These,
like their last one, which is 10 years ago. Grind Date's on there.
That's on there. Yeah,
yeah. But that's really strange.
Before that, because Grind Date was on, I forgot the name of the label, but all of the Tommy Boy stuff is they didn't make deals that included perpetuity for all formats.
Oh wow!
And there were so many samples on them, they'd have to go clear each and
you're right.
individual.
You're right.
Copyright holder, and mm-hmm. no lawyer has found it worth it yet.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing because I bought. A couple years ago, I bought Biz Markie All Samples Cleared, like on vinyl. That's a new copy. It's like, whatever. This album's so fun. What do you listen to right now? It's new or old, anything?
I've been into this Danny Brown album that just came out.
I've only listened to like 3 songs. It's pretty amazing.
This is the thing. And I really have to keep listening to it because I have a psychological issue with it.
Okay.
The guy who did most of the beats... produced my entire last album.
Okay.
And so what that means is there's about 6 beats on this Danny Brown album that I had and was writing to.
Wow.
You know.
6?
Yeah.
Well, then what happened? He was like, no, you can't have them.
Well, it was nothing. It was nothing malicious or egregious or anything. It was literally like okay, these are beats I had earmarked that I didn't finish a song to, except for one. One of them I did finish a song to, but we recorded the song. The song was kind of shitty anyway.
Okay.
So, okay. But yeah. The others, I just had them, and I was writing to them, and I just never, you know, I never completed the cycle with any one of those. And you don't think about that when you're letting them go. And, and not that that conversation even ever happens.
Sure.
But, you know, you just, I mean, the album's out.
Yeah.
We weren't continuing to make stuff, so those things were just on the on the back burner or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, now I gotta hear this guy, this popular guy.
I went on a date with that girl.
Exactly.
And now you're sleeping with her?
And nobody cares.
Nobody can identify with what you're dealing with.
And that's what I'm finding increasing in my life more than anything. We were talking earlier about thinking about career, and I asked you who you were jealous of and all that. The things that tweak me lately is stuff like that. It's little unique things that I can't explain to people why it is that this album
you just summed
makes
it up.
Me feel
you just
this
summed
way.
It up because it's like when same thing with me, like putting out a new special, a new album. Just like here, if I went through all the stuff, the delineations and the minuscule things I have to get perfect before I can even do this or do that, and the politics of the business.
Right.
It's boring.
Right.
It's nothing anyone can relate to.
Yep.
So all I can say is, like, stay tuned. I'm trying. It's the struggle you can't even talk about. And that's the interesting thing about hip-hop is it's, you know, you're working with a producer who's making these beats, and then it's a two-part thing.
Right.
Often just two people.
Yep.
Whereas with, like, a band, you all write the songs together or whatnot, or it's one person, they do all the music and they do, you know, they just sing over them. It's just this, with hip hop, it's always kind of, I've always seen it as like this, there's two halves.
Yeah.
There's a producer and then there's a person rapping or a group rapping over it, you know, which is fascinating.
And I mean, because I've had the other side of the situation where I've written a song over somebody's beat and demoed it and then decided that I needed to change the beat, you know, so then that person might hear the song and be like, oh,
right,
that used to be our song.
Yeah.
Now it's somebody else's song. And now our song is the remix.
That's funny.
You know.
And I like that you said written, because it made me think of, you know, the era. A friend of mine used to work in studios and was telling me about the era, the post, let's see, I'll say people finding out that Biggie and Jay-Z don't write down their lyrics era.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where literally every rapper that went into the studio was like, oh, I'm the same way. And like, yeah, I don't need to write my stuff down. And my friend was like, so, and I don't want to say what rapper it was, but he's really good. But I think he fell into that rut for Isaac. So we're on the 89th take. It's just this guy. And everyone in there just pulling their hair out like, just bring the piece of paper in.
Yo.
No one's going to know.
And this is the thing, too, in that era. Because I only saw somebody actually do that once.
Uh-huh.
Like, actually, like, we turned the beat on, and he was just sitting there in his head. And he wasn't writing.
It's impressive.
No, it wasn't.
Nope.
Because it was the worst verse ever. Because it was the one that he could memorize without paper.
Oh,
like,
I love it.
It was so simple and dumb.
Oh, wow.
You know? It was so dumb.
That's great.
It was very dumb. Like you, I didn't. I should have said you, sir, should be writing things down.
Yeah, because
this is not good.
Everyone listening right now is like, say who it is. Don't obviously you're not gonna say who it is.
I mean,
but it's like
the thing is,
like,
even if nobody knows who's
you, sure,
name,
right.
That's one of the thousands of underground rappers,
right,
who live in a 2-block radius of here.
They're all in Hollywood.
They're all here.
That's
you know,
hilarious.
Soul, the rapper Soul.
Yeah.
Hmm. Does that not look exactly like him?
Yeah.
That has been bothering me the entire time we've been sitting here. I'm like, who? What?
You heard it first.
What?
Kurt Braunohler and Soul look very much
that
alike.
That is Kurt, huh?
Yeah, that's Kurt.
I never seen Kurt with all that facial hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get out.
It's funny. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is freaky, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a wet picture of Kurt with a towel over his shoulders that says keep it dry.
That looks like Soul, man.
You put a sticker over that and anyone who knows underground hip hop is like, oh, hey, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
I'm going to take a picture and put that on the internet and tag Soul in and say, hey.
Do it.
Well, you're going to take any sexy 70s pictures.
People always bring up the fact that we have like the same last name pretty much, but don't, you know?
But it's very different.
It is, but it just starts with Braun.
What is going on beneath this?
I think a monster's coming through the wall. There's they're taping something tonight. What is it, Aristotle?
It's an art show.
What is it?
Art show.
It's an art show.
They're taping an art show.
Hence the tag. Well, I saw cameras. Didn't I see cameras?
It's for Broad City.
They're shooting Broad City downtown?
It's a Broad City art show.
Broad City art show.
Broad
there we go.
Broad City art show.
Okay.
That sounds like the hippest thing I ever heard.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty hip. Is that going to go on the whole time, do we know?
Because it's hurting my feelings.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me how much
hopefully
pain
that's
I
that they got that wall. And there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Anywho's. God damn it.
That's fun.
Are you pausing?
Okay.
No?
Okay.
You know, just tell, yeah, fuck it. Let's keep going.
Cool.
Whatever. I mean, the crazy thing is probably people can't even hear that tapping.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I feel it in my bowels.
Yeah, he has to tell them to stop for sure.
Because it's, I mean, you know, I could deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But why?
No.
Why would I want to?
No.
I'm an adult. I should be able to tell people when.
You and me both.
Like, stop tapping under my feet, man. Yeah, it's weird. Can you?
Yeah, if this was like an apartment situation, we were roommates, we'd be like, hey, can you? How many pictures are you putting up?
Right.
You go down there, just wall and ceiling covered with oil paintings. Just one more, I swear.
Did you put up lots of pictures in your dorm room?
Yeah, but just posters.
I used to cut up rap magazines and
nice.
Put them all, like, cover the whole wall and like Lugs ads.
Okay.
You know, with featured people I liked.
Sure. Yeah, I had a Ice Cube death certificate poster right next to my Clyde Drexler Trailblazer poster. Thanks, dude.
Are you a big Ice Cube person?
I was growing up.
Is death certificate better than Predator?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt, I think.
I just put that in a rap and I realized that's a terrible thing. I just wrote in it that I don't know if death certificate is better than the Predator.
that's a real
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know if I should say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's one of those things like, should I say that I don't, that I'm dumb like that?
No,
like,
what are you going to, I think that reveals, that's just your honest human condition.
I guess that's
There's
true.
A lot of stuff I don't know, you know, about. Oh God, especially like modern hip hop.
How much should you tell people that you don't know if they haven't asked you?
Yeah, it depends on the situation.
I guess
you're checking into a hotel and you're like, look, I can't tell Big Daddy Kane and Granddaddy IU apart. And they're like, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah, because you're at the Juice Crew Hotel and you can't do that here. It's
MC Shan's nephew's checking you in.
Exactly.
It's like, no, man. You had the Bismarcky suite. You don't get it anymore. I'm sorry. I read this great article about best posse cuts and how Really Doe off Danny Brown's album is amazing.
It is. It's so good.
It's so good.
Earl, man.
Yes. Good Lord. I like it when someone can ride the beat and it just sounds like they're talking.
Yeah.
You know?
And he just sounded like 38 years old all of a sudden. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Always
like,
did. You know?
But it was just like this grown man force.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That I hadn't heard from him
That's
yet.
What's crazy about Odd Future. Like, as they get older, you know, and they're going to, like, Tyler already has probably the deepest voice.
Yeah, he does.
Of
he
anybody.
Already sounds like a monster.
Yeah, he does. And it's just, I mean, interesting. They started out so young, but.
I don't listen to any of the rest of them, no.
I don't, I'm not that familiar. Like, I'll hear ones and be like, oh, that's good. Or that one.
I
weird.
Really can't even, I can't. I love Tyler as an artist, but I can't really listen to him rap.
No.
And because every time that I try to, I come into it thinking he must have done away with the shock stuff by now.
Right. Nope.
It doesn't happen.
They can't let it go.
Yeah.
Like, they all, these are all guys who started out listening to, like, early Eminem.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember being in junior high and saying crazy shit just to say it, just being like, people say I can't do this, so I'm going to do this.
Right.
And they're kind of like really, really smart guys that were very smart, very young, and like just taking that to umpteen levels, doing videos, throwing pills and blenders and stuff. I remember seeing that and being like, are they really? But it's like, that's what they want.
Yeah, no,
they're all like beautiful. Sober. They just want you to think that they have these ground up pill parties.
Well, I think some of them aren't sober, but.
Well.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they probably don't have pill blender parties. They never did.
I don't. Is that a real party?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, the thing is, if you eat. I know. I did this when I was a kid. If you eat like a swallow capsule, just chew it, you'll barf.
Ugh.
There's a reason it's in a capsule.
Oh.
It needs to go past your gag reflex and all that stuff because the chemicals in it are so strong.
That reminds me about the wonderful pain pill I'm going to take as soon as I get home.
You could have took it before this.
I did.
Oh, good.
I'm going to take another one.
Part two.
Yeah, man. Well, it'll be part three today.
What's the goodies?
Well, I have big fat ibuprofens, like the 600.
Yeah, I know those.
And then hydrocodone, which I guess is like some Vicodin kind of relative.
Okay, yeah. It's not perks.
Yeah, it ain't whatever is supposed to knock you out and have you leaned over. I don't get, I never get stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's talk about drugs. Like, I will take half a Valium, not a Valium, Xanax.
I've never taken, I want It'll to, put but I me, never have.
But it mellows you out and puts you, put at least me, right to sleep. Hmm. I don't know how people take Xanax and go about a day. I would rather be, like, just smoked. I'd rather be stoned
and
go about my day.
Are you an anxious person?
No.
Then why do you ever take the Xanax? Is that what it's for?
It just, let's say you've been on the road like 3 nights in a row. Uh-huh. And your nerves are just fried.
I see.
And your brain won't shut up. You can't sleep. So, you know, it literally just settles you.
I guess that's what weed does, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it puts me right to sleep. I just feel tired and sluggish.
You're already chill, Matt. You're already chill.
Oh, not me. I'm a wild man.
You know? Well, yeah, I guess you are. I guess that's true, too. You know, but you're not an anxious wild man.
You know, there's a large degree of anxiety, though.
I don't sense it in you. You always seem so chill.
Thanks. You look talking. You're like the chill guy I know.
Well, it's all lies.
Is that it?
Yes, absolutely.
You go home and just scream into a pillow?
I go home wishing that I could access it enough to scream into it, but I spend all day faking, and you can't just turn the fake off.
I don't think you're faking.
It takes I'm telling you what, man. I'm a sad, sad boy.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, but I have that, too. The one of the things that's been helping me is kind of understanding that in a lot of ways I'm doing it to myself. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned being jealous.
Yeah.
Doing it to myself, if I am. You know, feeling angry towards, you know, I was talking about how I was actually talking to Greg Fitzsimmons about leaving behind your kind of shitty, dumb, angry young dude inside you. Mm-hmm. Like I was in Winnipeg and this dude was coming out of this building with a stroller and his kid and he had tattoos and I was looking for this bookstore and there are all these places that just have no sign. So I was like, all right, maybe it's in there. And I was going in and he turns in the street. He's like, hey, can I help you, man? And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for the bookstore. He's like, that's the bookstore right there. Points next door. He's like, that. And just says the address out loud. Like I'm an idiot. And I was like, all right, man, thanks. And just left. And I could have been like, hey, man, who hurt you? It wasn't me, you know, but it was like, I just decided I'm not going to take the chip off your shoulder and put it on mine.
Wow.
This guy already had, and I found out where he was coming out of was like a halfway house.
That's why Xanax puts you to sleep. You know,
that's why I need Xanax.
You're already chill.
I'm so angry.
You're already chill.
No, dude, you don't know.
You could punch that guy right in his tattooed nose.
I get so angry. I have a short fuse. I have a massive... what you call an Irish temper comes.
What's
you know?
The last thing that made you angry that you remember?
Oh, just driving over here.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I get that.
Yeah,
driving
over here. I was in Washington D.C. last weekend, and I was coming out of my girlfriend and I were going. We were going into a cookie store, and like a bakery, and this girl's behind me. I held the door for her. She never looked up. Just looked at her phone and just went around me and didn't say thank you, nothing.
Yeah, that's no good.
And I just, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this last podcast. I don't think I did. I went to a Potbelly sandwich place and I was starving. It was 5 o'clock. Sign on the door says it closes at 8. I go to get in. There's a guy in front of the door, blocking the door, looking at his phone. And I go, excuse me. And he goes, it's closed. Doesn't move. And I look in, there's people working in there. I'm like, but it's... it says 8 o'clock. He's like, it's closed. And I'm like, why, man? And he's like, it's closed because they're doing construction. And they were doing construction. And I guess he was with the contractors or something. But the fact that he would not look up or say anything, just it's closed. Like, still looking at his phone.
You're getting angry now.
This close to taking his phone.
I didn't do it, okay.
Throwing it into traffic and going, now we're both mad. And walking away.
Oh, wow.
How childish. But I didn't. I just walked away.
That'd be a great...
Oh, but it's that thing. It would have felt so good to do that.
Angry Matt TV show. I'd watch the Angry Matt TV show.
I wouldn't say it's like me, myself, and Irene, where I've been putting it all down. It's just going to come out and it's separate. Yeah. But yeah, no, I get real angry.
But that's what I've learned in therapy because, you know, I compartmentalize and shit, present chill exterior.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
And process all my shit inside.
The outer shell.
And I was always worried about that. Like, mm-hmm. So my therapist was like, am I just going to fucking burst into flames one day? Like, what's going to happen? And she was like, no, the way you do it, you're just going to be kind of always a little depressed.
Oh.
So there's no explosion. It's just a kind of constant implosion.
But where,
every day.
Where's the exorcism of that? How do you get that out so you're not always sad?
Well, she encourages me to put it in my music.
Sure.
And I do sometimes, but those songs never make the record.
No?
Never. Man. No, I have a pile this high.
Really?
I'm holding my hand up high, people.
Never
holding,
like Mad as Fuck?
No.
Part two, they back again?
They don't. Nope. I can't do it. I look at them and I'm like, no, this song is entirely too emotionally available.
But when you started out rapping, you must add a couple of those songs. Like, I'm badder than you.
Oh, well, yeah,
I'll
but see,
your ass.
That's never about anger, though. That's always just about, like...
That's just braggadocio.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like,
okay.
You know, if you had a new skateboard trick, you want to just go do it everywhere. You're not angry at the city.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, what's the best... What's, like, your favorite just rage song?
Favorite
just top of your head.
Rage song? It would probably be a Eugene McDaniel song called... Fucking Supermarket Blues. That's
I don't know it.
Yeah, it's this song. This guy Eugene McDaniels was a soul singer in the '70s. He made this song about like a bunch of fucked up shit happening.
I'm writing
to him
it down.
At the supermarket, like just because he's black and people like saying weird shit to him and like throwing canned food at him and shit. And he's like,
Jesus,
I just came here to get a can of peas. You know what I mean? Like it's fucked up. But like that's anger.
That's a good one.
His anger does it for me. I
was gonna go "Fuck 'Em" by the Geto Boys.
Okay,
that to me is just kerosene. It's just like you know, I'm gonna drive my car through this building, kind of rage.
Do I have any of those? I don't know if I do. Angry rap. Oh, you know what my favorite brand of angry rap is, and I've collected this kind of song on Spotify, is like male fragility angry rap, where like some normally imposing fellow has been wronged by a woman.
Oh, that's a good
and
one.
Decides to write an entire very angry song about it.
Oh, okay,
all so these songs delight me.
We're talking
so much.
Truly Yours, Kool G Rap.
Okay, I don't know that one.
You don't Truly Yours?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really been a big Kool G Rap guy.
Oh, you're hurting.
I think he's really dope.
Yeah,
but the only album I ever bought from him was 4, 5, 6, and I hated it.
That's not a good album.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you want to go like Road to the Riches?
Okay.
You know, whatever that the Streets of New York. Anyway, but that's like an iconic.
Okay.
You know, I'm mad at this girl song. He just dogs her.
So
it's like Wildflower.
Wildflower to me is the quintessential.
Wildflower, quintessential.
But there's
you really hurt Ghostface Killer.
Oh my God!
You broke his heart.
Yeah,
he's so mad at you.
He's so mad, and then he talks about her vagina for like 48 bars or whatever. It's you know.
Yep. Like,
yo, bitch, I fucked your friend. Yeah, you stank ho. Like, damn.
All right. Ghostface.
Jesus.
Jay Live literally has a song about a girl he's mad at, and he's like, now, because of you, my favorite two songs are Wildflower and Truly Yours. He says that in the lyrics. How crazy is that?
Dang.
I just realized that.
I got to share the rest of these songs with you, though. Because you ever heard a guy named FT? He's in this group called Street Smarts.
No.
He's got the best one.
Okay. I don't even know. What era is that?
This is like 96, it's got to be.
Okay.
I think Buck Wild produced it. And the thing is, these songs tend to have these really beautiful beats, too.
Yes.
These like, really beautiful.
They do, where it's like, let me bring the ladies in. And they're like, Jesus. And they're just misogyny.
Exactly. But yeah, no, his song is called Problems, and the hook is Bitches Ain't Nothing But Problems. You can't live with them, can't live without them, and deal with it and be real with it. And if your ex give you ass, you should still hit it. Like
I remember this. Yeah, I remember that lyric.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would be, you know, Bitches Ain't Shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I remember girls in college dancing to, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're like, this beat is so good.
Yeah, no, that's.
That beat is amazing.
It is, and that has been an interesting phenomenon.
That's the thing. That beat's so good, that song could be called I Really Love Pizza. You know? Like I describe how, like, you know, Goodfellas is so good, it could be about a bunch of postal workers,
mm-hmm.
and just nothing happens. they just deliver mail kind of thing, like one of them gets fired. But it's just, it's
actually
shot so
might,
well.
I might like it better then.
I might, you know, like less violence.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
They
little,
still fight.
Yeah, yeah. If the worst thing you had to worry about was somebody's dog, you know, biting them or something, that, mm-hmm. I'd like that.
And one of them's like too heavy to run. Be a so little, it gets bit in the ass.
Be a little less tense.
That's true.
I would like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen The Lobster?
No. No, see, that's one of those ones that my girlfriend and I have this list of things I think neither one of us will ever see.
Mm.
Because it's like, we have to see this together.
Right, no.
She travels so much, I travel so much. We get home, we're like, fuck it, let's watch Chopped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I don't care. I don't, yeah. I'm burnt. I don't have the emotional reservoir to watch this right now. It's on demand. Yeah, but we got a new Shark Tank. So you watch horse shit, you know?
That's
yeah.
Funny.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I just saw it on an airplane, so you know it affected me more.
Yes.
You know.
Well, airplane takes away like all your nutrients, and the air is unrecycled and
oh
terrible.
My God.
Thanks to Vice President Cheney.
What was
he like passed an ordinance that they didn't have to refresh their air as much as they used to. It basically to help out the corporate masters. But
right.
It's I think there's a reason why we feel shittier on planes now.
Well, you okay. I guess, you know, and it's also just the – I think you're just more emotionally available when you're like
– flying at 500 miles an
when
hour
trusting,
at 20,000 feet.
Yes. Trusting this person you can't
yeah.
see.
Yeah. Through you're in a Tylenol capsule.
Exactly.
Zooming across the globe.
Yeah. And I think all of us are just up there just kind of all gritting our teeth a little bit,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I saw this Lobster movie on the flight, and it is something you just said reminded me of it. No, we were talking about Goodfellas, and we're talking about the postal version. I was thinking about how I might like it because it'd be a little less tense. And this Lobster, it's a tense movie,
it's real
man.
Tense,
oh
yeah.
Jesus, Christmas.
Yeah, the I know the plot. And
yeah,
like, just stakes are so high.
And and it's so ridiculous.
Yeah,
but they managed to make it all feel very real.
Oh, okay.
You know, they managed to really give it a gravity considering the subject matter.
Well, and it's to me it makes me think of kind of like. It's the drama version of like Airplane, where the reason why Airplane is so funny, and this has nothing to do with the fact that we're talking about being an airplane, but the reason why it's so funny is because all the actors commit so hard.
Right.
There's never a wink.
Right.
They all believe
they
all this stuff is real.
Straight.
This woman's getting the shit slapped out of her because she won't stop crying, and everyone has crowbars and stuff, and then no one's like, hey, this is nuts. Same thing with that. Like,
right.
This is our world.
It
got to commit to it. If you don't find someone, we're going to turn you into a lobster or, I don't know, a crab or whatever.
You really start to feel like that's going to happen to somebody because apparently it does in this world.
That just,
you know?
That sounds like nightmare fuel to me.
It was.
That's the kind of thing that would stick
tough.
In my brain's craw.
But it's not, you know, it wasn't heavy in that way. It was just heavy. Honestly, it was just really heavy in the interpersonal drama of it.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Like the situation creates this cauldron by which like every interaction between these people is so important.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it like really is like, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
See, and that's the thing. As much as I talk shit about like, oh, I'd see that if I was single. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I am the same way. I'm sensitive on planes.
Yeah.
When I watch something sad, my
face is
streaked with tears.
I'll cry on the plane.
And someone's like, oh, did you lose someone special? And I'm just like, no, they're going to turn that guy into a lobster. He doesn't fall in love. You know? And I'm weirding out the plane, and kids are like, how old is that?
Well, you got to learn the art of the silent cry, man. You got to.
I have it down. I have it down. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else about that movie, but I can't remember what. Doesn't matter, though, because you haven't seen
okay.
it.
No. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I was going to say the reason. I held off on watching it for a long time.
Okay.
And it was just one of those situations where there's no Wi-Fi on the plane, but there's like a bunch of movies you can watch.
Yes.
And it just seemed like the most
okay.
interesting choice.
Yeah, that's a weird new thing
yeah.
where I'm just like, do I want to watch this movie on my phone? Just in my lap? Because I don't have like an iPad. If I had one, I'd be like, all right, sure, I'll watch
it. I don't either. I should get an iPad like a grown-up, I guess.
I have. Like, I actually have one, but I just stopped using it and just discontinued the service. I just didn't use it enough. Mm. It was just a bigger version of my phone.
Right.
I mean, if I was like a graphic artist or something, I'm sure I'd be, you know, but I'm a fucking flim-flam man. My buddy of mine has a... CJ Sullivan, funny Chicago comic, has a great bit about leaving his backpack at a motel and flying home and being like, you have to find my bag. It has important business. And they're like, you mean this notepad full of dick jokes and a slide whistle? He's like, that is my business.
Wow.
Like, the, you know, it's not, we don't have, you know, it's not like a
I guess medical diagrams. If I left my backpack somewhere, if this is assuming I got my laptop out of it, I would be most concerned with various flash drives.
Oh, yeah.
And phone charging situations that I have amassed.
Right.
You know, I got short cords, long cords. I got car chargers.
Yeah.
You know, I got all these different, I have this like, basically a miniature toiletry bag full of various ways to power my phone.
Okay.
If necessary.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
So you basically have robot veins inside your bag.
In a bag. Mm-hmm. Robot veins in
a bag.
So
many robot veins.
I wish I had robot bands on my shoulder, and I could just pump robot Vicodin into it.
My dad has like an he has like severe arthritis in one foot, so he can't walk that well, and he just hurt his knee. So it's like I've been making jokes for about like 10 years about like I'm getting you a robot body, Dad. We're gonna put your brain in something else. It's been a running joke, and now it's kind of like I don't make that joke anymore.
Yeah, because that could happen.
You know, and he's seen RoboCop 2, and it just doesn't end well.
He's going to end up the big murderous
one. When will they learn to stop using the wrong brain? Frankenstein, RoboCop 2, you know. Get a nice guy's brain. It feels like that shitty argument that, like, lame dudes do where it's like, girls don't like nice guys like me. Yeah. Go run off with the bad boy, you know, the ones that'll hurt you. I'll be here waiting. And it's like, maybe you're just not that interesting.
No, absolutely not.
Maybe you're not in demand, asshole.
No, no.
Why don't you better yourself and girls will like you, you know. But I feel like the real argument is use the nice guy and not him, the good guy's brain. I guess, put the Mike Eagle brain in a robot.
I'm not a nice person at all.
Sure you are. But raising a good son.
That I am.
Come on.
He's going to be a really nice guy. Me, the boats, the ship has sailed on me. He's going to be
a
really...
I call bullshit.
He's going to be
a
really...
You're a good person.
No, I do okay. You know, and I'm also horrible.
We're all horrible. Come on.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that, too.
We live in Los Angeles.
Yes, this is true.
We're not here to feed the poor.
We've all signed up to be horrible together.
Yeah. On a team.
Yeah.
We're better... I will say this. You and I are probably better than most.
I don't know.
No, we're not going to do anything for fame, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. We're not starring in a Marlboro ad, you and I.
No, not yet.
And unless they offer us a million each.
If they give us a call, we're going to have that meeting.
We're going to get them.
We should just...
Please buy our integrity.
We should pretend to be smoking.
Two for one sale.
Sell it. There we go.
Oh.
No, that's menthol. That's menthol. You just...
I like the minty burn in my throat. Did you ever used to smoke?
I smoked a pack a day when I was in college, man.
Like I used to get high and smoke Newports and watch Batman in college.
In that order. That's how it would go.
It was marvelous.
I used to smoke Black and Milds, too.
Fuck, I miss Black and Milds.
No, I don't miss Black and Milds.
Black and Milds and malt liquor were like just the my twin mistresses.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that was... Black and Milds were great because you... You're literally inhaling a cigar that tastes like fruit.
Is it?
And it's so bad for you, but it's so fun.
It was fun for a while.
It's got that clean draw because of the plastic mouthpiece.
Did you ever do what they call, what we used to call freaking the Black and Mild? Did you ever do that?
No.
We stuck our penises in them. No. No, it was this thing you could do where there's this lining inside of it that you could like take it out and then re-roll it and it would like burn even smoother.
Really?
Yeah.
See?
We smoked too many Black and Milds, so we found out weird shit like that about them.
Okay. All right. Well, I will see you freaking the Black and Mild. Did you ever used to drink Kool-Aid 40s?
No, I did not drink Kool-Aid.
You'd drink it down to the sticker, and then you'd pour in a packet of unsweetened Kool-Aid, and it would bubble up, and you got to put the cap back on, and it would turn the whole thing bright red or orange or whatever.
I feel like you get arrested for doing something like that now. They put you on a watch list.
It was the weirdest taste, but so good. And then it's just a bunch of people with just these... gross clown lip. It was so weird.
No, I haven't experienced that.
I think it's just, you know, location specific. I think everybody growing up had their weird little...
Well, you know, all of that weird shit was in college for me. And when it came to drinking, what we used to do when we had no money, which is why people would buy like, you know, fucking malt liquors and shit. What we would do is we would get really, really cheap bottles of like alcohol, so we get like plastic bottles of
vodka. like Oh, Vodka. Okay.
Yeah, like Heaven Hill and
yeah,
like
we had Pop Off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and Hood River Vodka, which was local, but now it's good. But back then, it was like in the plastic. Everything like, they put it in was plastic. And
yeah,
it burned like fire.
I saw that shit. What was the one you meant? Not because I said Heaven Hill.
Yeah,
and you said Pop Off.
Yeah,
I saw Pop Off eat through a styrofoam cup once. And I drank that shit willingly.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, well, you're indestructible back then.
Yeah, well, indestructible back then. That's an interesting concept.
I remember drinking a bunch of ice beer,
mm-hmm.
which goes down so smooth but just kicks the shit out of you, and being this close to driving all my friends to go see a Bad Brains concert. And this is back when they had that horrible album, God of Love, you know, like where they were doing like hair metal, basically.
I never got into Bad Brains.
Really?
I was a Fishbone guy, but I never got into Bad Brains much.
Fishbone was kind of the conduit. Mm. My friend Lev Anderson did the Fishbone documentary. Did I tell you that?
You know what? I met him.
Sunshine? You met Lev?
Yeah, at this house party at Bridgetown.
That's right.
Yes.
At my friend Zach's house.
Yes.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was you were there with Aesop.
Aesop, yep.
Yes. And all my friends like, oh, hey. Is that Open Mike Eagle? Is that Aesop? I was like, yeah, it's them. Yeah. It was very. I love that, man. I get a kick out of, friends being geeked out by other friends of mine. You know?
Yeah.
Do you have any of that?
Well, you know, Hannibal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Well, that's the thing. Hannibal's strength and thing is always been not only hilarious, there's nobody like Hannibal.
There's nobody.
Never
like
has
Hannibal.
Been.
Nope.
Even back in Chicago, I remember the first time I saw him, I mean, I heard a rumor about him, like he's a black comic. He has a bit about having a silver arm. I'm like, take me to him.
I'm like, metal arms, like Jack's of Mortal Kombat.
Metal arm, I would do it. Yeah. Like, and I was just like, I saw him, I was like, yeah, like, he doesn't have his footing under him yet, but like, once he gets it, like, he's going to be a monster. I knew it. I knew that like 15 years ago.
Now, you know, it's not a week goes by where somebody didn't ask me some odd favor involving him.
Really?
Always.
That's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to go see him in Detroit. I know you're in L.A., but can you ask him if he can do a meet and greet with us?
What? Yeah, no.
like, what do you mean?
Because I tried asking his people. They asked for this much money. Yeah.
Right.
Can I go around the money he gets? Yeah. I mean, there was a montage scene in a Second City production once where people were literally walking by each other saying things, and like, you know, one was like two people see each other and someone's like, hey, what are you? No, let's not talk. Let's just wave and like shit like that. And the one that got me was a girl, like it was a answer machine message. She was like, hey, Gary, I know we haven't talked in a while, but can you bring 12 of your strongest friends and help me move on Saturday? I'll buy everyone Taco Bell. Like the cheapest food for the most labor.
Oh,
and so like these
God.
People, it's like they just don't understand how much he's had to hustle to get to where he is. And you don't get it for free.
And they also don't understand that my relationship with him is like – my relationship with him is preserved by how little I ask him for shit.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But that's like everyone's relationship.
But, you know, I think it's really difficult for people to understand that, like, because I think they think that they never asked me to ask him something, that nobody's ever asking me to ask him something when it's realistically happening constantly.
Yeah. And you know. I mean, if I'm guessing this is not the person asking you is not someone you're particularly tight with.
It can be.
Sometimes?
It can be.
Okay.
You know, and I get it, you know, but it's that whole thing of like you said, people just not having the like their proximity being as such where they just assume that, you know.
Mm.
And I could ask him anything.
Yeah.
But I don't want to.
No, there's no reason you should.
Exactly.
The world will continue to spin if you have to do that fucking meet and greet somewhere.
Oh my God.
It is not imperative. This is not someone's dying child that wants to meet Hannibal.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's funny, like, I remember learning the dark side of that, not to get on that shit, but like, I, myself and Kyle and a couple of people have opened for, you know, Daniel Tosh. And we did a benefit that was great in like Omaha. And he was talking about the amount. He does a lot of like Make-A-Wish stuff.
Daniel Tosh.
Yeah, like you know, people only know him as this shitbag, and he kind of is.
Right.
But he's also, you know, he's a pretty real person. Like he's honest. But he says like when people will be like, "Oh, my son wants to meet you. He's going to Make-A-Wish," and like, "Sure." And he's like, "Can you fly us all to Vegas?" So the family is going to Vegas with their kid that's not doing. I was like, "That is some fucked up shit.
That's weird.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine that ask.
Jesus Christ.
So it's just, you know, I mean, no one's ever said this, but more money, more problems.
Sounds like a hit, man. Let's edit this part out, okay? I don't want anybody to know where the idea for my new hit song
You can have it. You can have that. But it's like Thomas Lennon and Ben Grant wrote that book about writing screenplays, which is not only it's pretty educational, it's also hilarious. Mm-hmm. But the one thing they have that reminds me of this is they say when, like, let's say you write a hot script and then you have to have it attached to like a star, like right. a movie star. Mm-hmm. And there's maybe 7 movie stars in the world. Mm-hmm. You got that can actually open a movie.
Right.
Will Smith, Denzel, Tom Cruise, Julie Roberts, mm-hmm. you know, Scarlett Johansson. But he's like, when you meet with them, if they like the script, and they'll have some notes. So if you meet with them in their trailer, never accept anything. Even you're thirsty as shit. If they're like, want a glass of water? Just be like, I'm fine. Because people ask those people for shit all day long. Huh. Like, be the person who's not asking them for
right.
shit.
That's you know? That tends to be my rule with Mike. Because I'm increasingly finding myself in a position where I have friends that are like famous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah. I'm not that famous,
I like though. To be, well, like, you know, a couple people know me in the comedy circles, and I did do the Halloween episode of iCarly in 2007.
You know, the first time I ever saw you was on TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a big deal for me.
I will take it.
It was some showcase thing. It was like late night Comedy Central, some showcase thing. It was you and Hannibal and...
Mashup, probably.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, where it would cut to...
I don't think... to me, it felt... If my memory serves me correct.
Okay.
It felt more like it was just... Some because it was it an out of New York or something?
Was it Live at Gotham?
Might have been Live. You know what I think that was it.
I think Hannibal's on a different episode. But
okay,
who knows? They might have been showing like a Rock Block or something. But,
okay,
you know, but that's cool.
It was cool.
It is funny though when I'm on the road and like some comics like, man, seeing you on Live at Gotham inspired me when I was a kid. Like, fuck you, young bastard. It wasn't that long, and you're like, oh my god, yes, it was. So it was like almost that'll be 10 years next year.
I get that too. People say, yeah, you know, you helped me through something in junior high. I'm like, wait a minute, you're in college now. Like, what is this?
How funny would it be if it's like a guy like your age, and you're like, fuck you, man. And he's like lying to his date. Growing up, listening to Open Mark Eagle. You didn't know who the fuck I am. This is bullshit. How are we doing?
Oh.
57. All right, cool.
Oh, man.
Well, this has been fun.
It has been. It helped me forget my pain a little bit.
Good. I'm glad. Laughter is certainly not the best medicine, but it's some.
It's something.
It's some.
Laughter and drugs, you put those together.
Oh, a good time.
Now you're cooking with oil.
See, man, screw that Life is Beautiful. We need to start Laughter and Drugs Festival.
I love this
Are you
idea.
Kidding? We would do...
Oh.
Where should we put it?
Here, now.
Right now, in this room?
Start calling
Aristotle,
people.
Lock the door. Call my dealer.
The windows will get steamy and people will just want to know what's happening in here.
Is there still that guy that goes around with, like, you call him, he shows up with a briefcase and he looks crazy and he's like a drug deliverer?
I've never seen him in real life, so
That's like a plot device I've seen in 1,000 movies. And, like, you read The Dirt by Motley Crue, like, that guy's...
Oh.
There was a guy that would follow their tour bus in, like, a stretch Cadillac with, like... 2 hookers, and his license plate said, like, drug dealer, like, DRG dealer.
Well, that's good.
And, that's the 80s right there.
That's good.
That's the extreme version.
Like, when you, like, want to let the cops know that you're not a drug dealer, that's, like, a really good
reverse psychology.
Plate. Yeah.
You know?
It's really good.
It's like, no,
whatever.
I grow wheatgrass, officer. Right. That's my drug.
I am a pharmacist, okay?
Like, I want to know, like, if there's, because you haven't encountered that. You haven't encountered the person that opens the briefcase. Like,
oh, you know what?
Downers.
No, there was a show in Atlanta I did with a bus driver, No Can Do, and Milo. This is 2013 or 14, or after the show. He didn't have a briefcase, but he had kind of like a small tackle box.
Yes.
Even better. And he had... LSD and shrooms and various powders and little rock things that I don't fuck with the powders or the rocks, so
no.
I don't remember what those were.
No.
But he did. He had various drugs that he wanted us to have. He didn't even charge us monies.
That's fantastic.
It was great.
Did you guys go to Magic City after the Claremont Lounge?
No, we didn't go to either one of those fun places. We used to go We used to only go to strip clubs in the daytime.
Yeah.
That was our favorite thing.
I know a few people like that.
We you know the St. Vincent song, Chloe in the Afternoon? Do you know that song?
I don't know. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, then this won't be funny at all.
Oh, but is it about a girl stripping in the afternoon?
Well, yeah. We actually went to a strip club in the afternoon, and there was this meth addicted girl named Chloe there. And, and then it just made the song make sense.
She danced to the song?
No, but okay. She should have been, because yeah. It was her life.
Oh, well, okay, what's the worst stripper and song pairing you've experienced? So, you know, I'm from Portland, so I've been to my share.
Well, we, at this self-same strip club on that self-same day, we actually started talking to the DJ and just we were playing shit.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We played a song by this indie band, The Blow. Like, we were,
okay. Yeah, I didn't even know them.
Oh, it's so good. But it's not a strip club song at all.
Yeah.
But we were just making it happen and laughing.
I went to a strip club, you know, like probably newly drinking age, where you're just you're a licensed maniac. Mm-hmm. You've already been drinking for years, and then you just, you know, now you're okay with it. You know?
Licensed maniac.
I went in and it, like, hey, the jukebox is free. Yeah, for stripper shithead. Like, I put in like three albums worth of songs, and the chicks dance like, where the fuck is my music? And everyone's like looking at me like, what? Yeah, who did that? Like, no one saw my huge body in front of the jukebox.
Oh, that's so fucking
Everyone
funny.
Knew. And it was like a skeevy one. It wasn't like the fun one you think of Portland where it's like men and women in there. It was all dudes and then just...
Oh, I've been to a bunch of those. I like those in Portland, too. Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, drunk, barged into a strip club. Still my favorite strip club entrance, and just yells, I came here to dance. Just yelled that at the room.
That's
and
great.
All the guys are like, ugh. You know, their back muscles tightened. Like, I don't want to see a man
right.
dance.
Yeah. Well, also, they don't want to hear anyone yell, because then they think it's the police, and then they have to go home.
You're reality-ing my safe zone.
God.
My gross safe zone.
Yeah, people need a gross safe zone.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah, we do.
Don't we all? Well, man, this has been fun.
It has been.
Let's hop on out. Thanks for picking us up. This is us. Go check out Open Mike Eagles Records.
Yeah, I got stuff. I got records.
Yeah. Anything? Want to do a plug?
Hella Personal Film Festival. That's my last album. You should listen
dope.
To that one.
It's a great album.
Thank you.
So pick it up. Pick it up. And see you next time.
Ding Donger with the Matt Bronger. Ding Donger with the Matt Bronger is the... Ding Donger with the Matt Bronger. Ding Donger with the Matt Bronger, yeah!
Now leaving Nerdist.com.